Live from Beyond the Beltway, this is Bruce Dumont with our weekly analysis of national politics, featuring occasional injections of rumor and innuendo, all offered up by our panel of pundits, power brokers, public servants, professors, and most importantly, plain-speaking Americans from coast to coast. Tonight, featuring commentary by John Cabello, Illinois State Representative, a Rockford police officer, and a Trump delegate. Hermaine Hartman, publisher of Indigo Magazine, and economist Mike Miller of Western Washington University. Our program tonight coming to you from AM 560 The Answer. That's the Salem Station in Chicago, just off the expressway, not far from O'Hare Airport. And again, phone lines open at 1-800-723-8289, 1-800-723-8289. And again, I want to thank Eric Cohn and also Dan Johnson and Chris Veronis for sitting in for the last couple of weeks while I've been a little under the weather. But I'm back tonight, and again, it's nice to be back in the saddle tonight to talk about, boy, it's been quite a 2 weeks to be off the air. But again, obviously we're talking about the future of the President of the United States, whether or not Joe Biden sticks on the Democratic ticket, whether or not he can be replaced, if so, how, who would replace him, and we'll also talk about the impact it has on the Trump campaign and possibly who he might select as his running mate, which is not yet determined. So I want to begin this evening with I want to get reaction, first of all, on the debate. Hermaine Hartman, you're our closest thing to a card-carrying Democrat tonight, although you're very analytical and very candid. What was your when you were watching the debate, what were you thinking?
So I looked at the debates. I looked at them completely. And when the debates first came on, I thought something was wrong with the microphones. And I wondered, should they turn them up or is he mic'd properly right. And all that. I went into a professional mode.
It was fuzzy.
It was fuzzy. It was right. Not clear. It was not good. Okay. And then as the debate went on, it got more troublesome and to realize that there was something wrong with President Biden. He seemed lost. He seemed hesitant. He seemed unclear. It just wasn't good.
John Cabello is our Republican. John, your assessment when you were watching the debate.
I was actually kind of shocked when I saw President Biden walk out. He looked ill. He looked very pale.
Ill or old?
Ill.
Okay.
He looked very ill. He was pale, very pale. When he started speaking, it was another shock because it sounded like he could barely get the words out of his mouth. So that is not a good first impression.
Did you also have the impression that Hermaine had that there might have been an audio problem because it was choppy?
No, I did not.
Oh, you did not.
Think
okay.
of an audio problem in any way, shape, or form.
Okay.
It sounded as though he was very tired. And again, with that pale face that he had, it appeared that he was ill.
In a raspy voice.
Yeah.
Mike Miller joins us from Washington. Mike, nice to have you with us. It's been a couple,
sure.
It's been 4 weeks since you've been on the show. Lots has happened. What was your reaction when you were watching the debate?
Well, when you think about it, the 12-minute mark is where everything really went south for the president. And two things became perfectly clear, Bruce, that you and I know, I want to say somewhat being on the right, and our friends on the left simply ignored for the past couple of years, and that is that Mr. Biden has dementia. He has a definite cognitive problem. And number two, that the media has been lying to us and doing everything they can to hide this situation. And that's a very, very sad day for America. So I'm sitting there watching this unfold. And it is exactly, in some sense, what I expected because he cannot put sentences together. He doesn't have the ability to be president. Mm-hmm. And it's sad. I hate to see this happen to the man.
Now, in an attempt to make up for what happened that night, and again, there wasn't anybody that really came forward that night in the typical spin cycle that follows a debate where somebody would be on talking how what a wonderful job the Democrat did, what a wonderful job the Republican did, or vice versa. There was nobody there to be a safety net for Joe Biden that night. They all sort of acknowledged almost instantly what the problem was. In fact, Van Jones on CNN This was one of the most succinct, brutal assessments of anyone. He just said, I love Joe Biden, but he was off tonight. So he acknowledged, and I think other members of the media, left or right, acknowledged the same thing, that he really had an off night. But then they tried to make up for it by having him the next night. He was out at a rally, didn't look too bad at the rally. He went to Waffle House, didn't look too bad at the Waffle House. But they then spread the word that he had had a cold. Now, I don't remember anybody telling us in advance that he had a cold. Right. This was all post-debate, you know, catch-up. And then last week, or this past few days ago, he decided that he wanted to go and have a one-on-one interview with George Stephanopoulos of ABC. And he sat down and he had this interview with Stephanopoulos. And my question to you is, Hermaine, based on the interview with Stephanopoulos, did he make any ground? Did he make up any ground, or did he lose ground?
So, Bruce, let's go back to the debate. Trump was off, too. Trump didn't have a good night either. Trump lied and lied and lied and lied. And there was no.
But that's content.
Well, it's still content, yeah, yeah, but he's still, it. But it's still a lie is a lie. And he did not, there was no fact checking. There was no checking him on some of his remarks and what do you mean and could you explain and could you go further? So,
which should have been the responsibility of an opponent in the debate.
That's right. Or the moderators in the debate.
I think it's more of the responsibility of the combatant in the campaign.
Right.
But again, the moderator certainly has a role there too.
Right, and they could have said something. So in the interview with George, I don't think that was a good interview. I don't think it was a good interview. George was not a good interviewer. And Biden, I think it was just bland. I think it was, so what? It was bland. It wasn't as bad as the debate, but I don't think he gained ground, but I think it was necessary for him to come forth so the American public could see and touch and feel and see where are you and what do you look like and what are you doing. But I don't think we have made, this media has made age an issue. Truth be told, Trump and Biden are only 3 years apart.
Well, that's a long time.
That's a long time? 3 years?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, but, come on. I think
not
it's about
age. Age at the same.
That's right.
Age
everybody
is not the issue.
Just not. But they've made it an issue. Biden's too old. Biden's too old. Biden's too old. That's all we're hearing.
But again, I think we're hearing that because we're seeing examples of Joe Biden slipping and falling when he's going up Air Force One, slipping or falling when he's coming down, slipping and falling at the Air Force Academy or wherever that appearance
graduation
was. The generation. I mean, we have seen him repeatedly misstep, and it's pretty hard to ignore that. And for a while, I thought it was just Fox News that was doing it. But that wasn't the case. They do it a lot, and they play it over and over and over again. But other networks were mentioning at least that he seemed somewhat feeble in the way he was walking. Not so much about what he was talking, but again, we'll talk about that when we come back. Mike, I want to get you and John's response as well. 1-800-723-8289. Your assessment of the Stephanopoulos interview or the debate. Give me a call.
.145/92 .180/111
.182/100 And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest and then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you, start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'm coming back. Ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.
Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
This is the story of a very special woman.
In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in a thousand pieces, just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Dr. Nia Hurd-Garris with today's tip for kids from the American Academy of Pediatrics. As parents, we want our children to grow up healthy and strong. That means helping teens take responsibility for their health as they become young adults. One way to do that is to make sure they have one-on-one time with their pediatrician. That helps them become comfortable talking about any health issue with their doctors and with you. So make sure to give your teen a voice. It's good for their health. For more on teen health, visit healthychildren.org.
I think it's just vapor.
Vaping is safer than smoking, isn't it?
There's really not even that much nicotine in them, right?
One vape pod has as much nicotine as one pack of cigarettes.
My kid knows it's dangerous.
5.4 million American kids vape, and most think it's harmless. Get your head out of the cloud. Talk to your kid about vaping. Visit talkaboutvaping.org. That's talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Bruce Dumont back. We continue with Beyond the Beltway, and the interview with George Stephanopoulos. The president wasn't great. He wasn't horrible, but he didn't do anything to dissuade anybody from their opinion on the debate. But the one thing that they kept coming back to is George Stephanopoulos was saying, "Well, I mean, how bad was this?" And one question early in the interview, which really stunned me, but the rest of the media has not picked up too much on this question and this response. But this was almost a minute into the debate, into the interview, and this question was asked. Listen carefully. Listen to the question by George Stephanopoulos, a really simple question, and listen to the answer by the president.
And did you ever watch the debate afterwards?
I don't think I did, no.
Well, what I want to get at is...
I don't think I did.
No.
Now, this was something that happened a couple of days ago. And he... I don't think I did.
And then no.
And then
I don't think I did.
No. And then I can't believe that he would stumble
no.
over that question.
Yeah, it should have just been a no.
Yeah, just no.
Yeah.
But the fact that he can't remember, it just reinforced the thing. Mike Miller.
Yeah, Bruce, I know this after the debate was over, and I did watch CNN instead of not watching any follow-up. And I was surprised at how actively they took after Mr. Biden. But the one thing that kept coming up is that Mr. Trump lied. And I know that they brought on a guy named Daniel Dale from the Washington Post, and he listed right. several things that he supposedly lied about. But so often people confuse the idea of an opinion with the idea of a fact that they get right. wrong purposely. And I think that Mr. Trump did not blatantly lie in that particular debate. He may have, you know, exaggerated, but on certain things I'll ask him about, say, January 6th, he has an opinion that goes against the normal belief of that day. I still think it was a riot. It was not an insurrection. And that's called a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry. I just think that this idea that, well, Trump lied and he always lies is preposterous. I know he tells lots of stories. not as many as Mr. Biden does about his uncle being eaten by cannibals and putting a purple heart on some uncle that's been dead for 20 years and things like that. But I just think the accusation of Trump lying during the debate was a canard. It was true.
I keep coming back to what I think, you know, in a debate, you're assessing the abilities of two men who want to lead the free world. You expect them to be sharp on top of their game and be able to answer very specific questions. You also expect them to be able to challenge a candidate who says something that is a lie. You expect them to be sharp enough, quick enough, and have the recall to say to President Trump, that is a lie, that as opposed to just say, blanket, he's a liar. At the end of the debate, he didn't stop him on any of these specific points, which means this is another example of being off.
But
that night.
We do have to remember that the microphones were off when it was not their turn to talk, so they couldn't really communicate with each other. I don't think they would be able to hear each other that much, especially with the Biden being so soft-toned. And
but he didn't challenge.
No,
he didn't challenge.
No, he didn't challenge
it. That Trump said. And the commentators didn't either. I'm upset with the commentators also. When Trump said black jobs, somebody should have said, could you please define a black job? There are a couple of things.
Oh, I've heard
Trump,
many.
Yeah. Oh, you got definition on that?
I've heard many people. Well, I've heard of the black community, and that's never – yes, I heard some economists talking about it. And, of course, that was Glenn Lowry. Of course there are things that you call them. If black people hold jobs, they're black jobs.
I think the
black community, this term is used all the time.
Oh.
And for some reason, because Mr. Biden or Mr. Trump used it, there's all of a sudden it's an insult.
Well,
it's
where is that used all the time? I beg to differ with you.
A black community. What
black
is the community
black community? Says black jobs?
I think using the modifier
black before community is no different than using the word black before jobs.
All right, now,
for black people.
All right, I want to switch gears right now. We've talked about the debate. We've talked about the interview with George Stephanopoulos. Let's now jump into the future of the Democratic Party and what do they do when they have a growing number of at least members of the House coming up and saying they think that Joe Biden should step aside. In your view, how widespread is this concern that Biden has got to go?
I think it's a discussion, and I agree with Biden. I think Biden needs to sit still. I think Biden needs to stay. Biden is the candidate. That's what I really feel. But you can definitely see rise to Biden should go. And I think that is partly due to the media. Biden is old. Biden is feeble. Biden might have dementia. Biden might have this and that. So we have turned the election into an ageism thing. And I think he's being attacked.
Well, it is, but it is.
It is not age.
Yes, it is.
Go ahead, Mike Miller.
It is not age.
It is.
It is not age.
Let's let him respond.
Henry Kissinger just passed away about, a couple months ago. He was 101 years old, and his mind was as sharp as ever. I would trust a 101-year-old whose mind is sharp against a 70-year-old like me if my mind is not sharp.
I agree
with
you.
It's not age. It's
competence.
I have no problem. Okay, then that's not an age issue.
But it is. The media has made it an age issue.
No.
The media ignored all the problems of Mr. Biden for the past 3 years.
Should the media, this is a question for you, Shermaine, should the media have avoided when the president slips going up the stairs or down the stairs on Air Force One? Should they avoid the story if he trips over sandbags at a speech?
No.
Should they ignore when he apparently is looking a different direction with the G7 leaders?
No, he's clumsy. Maybe he's clumsy.
Okay.
Remember when Gerald Ford fell up the stairs?
Yeah. Well, but everybody knew that, and the media didn't protect
he's
him.
He's clumsy, right?
Well, he's clumsy or old.
I think I've got maybe a little bit of a different take on that. So if there is no issues with his cognitive skills, if there's no issues with him being okay and being able to run this country, why are they trying to hold back the interview so badly? I think that interview with
the one with her.
Yeah, with special counsel.
Yeah. Her.
Is going to blow the lid off of.
What interview is this?
John Herr. It's the interview with the special counsel, John Herr, who said that Joe Biden would not likely be prosecuted because he's sort of an old, they didn't use the word doddering, but an old man. And he would be a sympathetic
well-meaning
figure. Meaning old man, and the jury would
really
be very
bad
sympathetic.
Memory.
Yes, with a very bad memory.
So, again, we have the transcript of that. Pretty devastating.
But the transcript was also cleaned up. So there were corrections throughout and edits made through that transcript.
But do we, at this moment in time, John, in your opinion, how realistic is it that the Democrats are going to let that tape out? If they have this tape that's going to reinforce all the issues raised by the debate, why on earth would they let that out?
Well, I think the Republicans are going to have some sort of a, I think it was $10,000 a day if against Garland if he doesn't release that tape. That's since he's not coming in and testifying to that and why he's not releasing it. I think today I heard that they were going to charge him $10,000 a day or fine him $10,000 a day. But that just goes to why are they trying to hide it so much? That is the question.
I think the other question, Hermaine, and that is, why is it that those at the White House, the handlers, if you will, why is it that all they've said for the last several months is that Joe Biden is up to speed, he's sharp in meeting, he's sharp as a tack? Why is nobody acknowledging some of the missteps that we saw in the debate?
I think that's a great question, and I can't answer it because I'm not around, so I don't know the answer. I don't know
other
the
than
answer.
They want to just protect them.
But let's ask this: why hasn't the media attacked Trump? We've got a convicted felon.
That's
all they do.
That happens on second by second.
But where else do they? Where
that's
has,
all they do?
That's all they
but
do.
Should he resign?
Why?
He doesn't.
No,
he's a convicted felon.
Doesn't make any difference.
Oh, no. It's okay. That's okay.
There's no difference.
Well,
he doesn't.
No, it's going to be overturned because it was a preposterous outcome.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
It was a miscarriage of justice.
But again,
and I base that on my liberal people I listen to on the liberal side, Alan Dershowitz and Jonathan Turley and lawyers like that who make it perfectly clear that was a complete miscarriage of justice.
Well, when we come back, we'll talk more about the convicted felon. We'll talk more about the president. And we'll get back to this key question now. What do the Democrats do now? Now. That's what we're talking. I'm Bruce Dumont. Don't go away.
This is Albert Moeller for Townhall.com. Once again, Americans are ready to celebrate the 4th of July. Very ready indeed. But let's remember that the holiday is actually known as Independence Day, marking the anniversary of the Act of American Patriots in declaring independence from Great Britain. The Declaration of Independence is the nation's birth certificate. More than that, Independence Day marks a momentous event in human history. For the first time, a new nation was established upon the premise that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. For more than 200 years, the United States of America has been learning how to fulfill that promise, but on Independence Day, we celebrate the fact that this world-changing promise was made, and a new nation was born. a nation founded upon liberty, dignity, and self-government. Happy Independence Day. I'm Albert Moeller.
I think it's just vapor.
Vaping is safer than smoking, isn't it?
There's really not even that much nicotine in them, right?
One vape pod has as much nicotine as one pack of cigarettes.
My kid knows it's dangerous.
5.4 million American kids vape, and most think it's harmless. Get your head out of the cloud. Talk to your kid about vaping. Visit talkaboutvaping.org. That's talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Matthew.
Huh? Oh, sorry.
It's okay. I just need you to listen to me.
I know that a lot of times, Mom, it might not seem like I'm listening to you, but I am. I hear you. And what you say really does matter to me.
I mean, let's be honest. No kid likes rules, but I get why we have them. I hear you, and I know it's because you care.
All the talks we've had over the years, including what you've told me about not using alcohol and other drugs, they stick with me. And believe it or not, they really do make a difference, especially at times that matter most.
Hey, want a drink?
No, thanks. I'm good. So thank you, Dad, for talking and preparing me for what's ahead.
Thanks, Mom, for never giving up and always being my biggest fan.
Thank you for letting me know what you expect, so I can try to meet your expectations.
Thank you for talking.
For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Let's be honest. The National Symphony may not be in his future, but he wanted to try violin. So you said yes because you love him. And if you love him that much, love him enough to make sure he's buckled up and in the back seat. Find out more about keeping your kids safe in your vehicle at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Bruce Dumont back. We continue with Beyond the Beltway. Thanks for joining us from coast to coast and border to border and wherever you're listening to this program. And we're going to take a moment now to let each guest introduce themselves. And we're going to begin with Mike Miller, way out west. Mike?
Oh, thank you, Bruce. I got my PhD in economics in 1980 at the University of Pittsburgh and then took my next job, which lasted 43 years. I was at DePaul University on the faculty in the Department of Economics, teaching macro and doing research on the country of Bahrain. I retired from DePaul a year ago and actually took a job at Western Washington University. They happen to have an opening for someone to teach macro, and I'm having a wonderful time in both a three-month vacation in the summer and then the regular academic year teaching macro.
In one of the most beautiful parts of the United States.
Oh, it's just gorgeous.
You got to send pictures
of
your
backyard.
I see
Mount Baker every time I go to work. Oh, my gosh. I can see the Cascade Mountains from my backyard.
John yes. Cabello, tell us about yourself.
Well, I'm a resident of McChesney Park. Have been a policeman since 1993, detective since 2000. Started in a small town community as a policeman, and then went to the Rockford Police Department in 1995. Got into politics because I saw my taxes going up and up and up and up, and I couldn't give us good roads or good schools. So instead of complaining about it on the sidelines, I decided to jump into the game to try to change it.
Yep. And you're one of the leaders of the Republican Party in Springfield, although you don't speak for them as a unit tonight.
Correct. I'm one of Tony McCombie's, our minority leader's assistants. Mm-hmm. And yes, I am not here as a Trump person to speak as an assistant minority leader, because I don't want to speak for our caucus.
Okay. And Hermaine Hardman.
So I'm a lifelong Chicagoan, and I used to have a life like Mike Miller when I was at City Colleges of Chicago teaching sociology and psychology, and then I left that and didn't get 3 months off anymore and joined the world of the media, and I started a newspaper called Indigo. Today we are Indigo Media, and we have a television show and a podcast called Indigo Studio.
Okay, and we'll talk more about that a little bit later on. I want to get back to now, what does the party do next? Initially, after the debate performance, there were a number of names that popped up as possible stand-ins for Joe Biden, the most notably being the governor of California, Gavin Newsom. Those calls or those mentions have dissuaded considerably. And based on what I heard, at least on the Sunday programs today, it seems to have narrowed down to Joe Biden or Kamala Harris. Do you see it that way?
Well, if Joe Biden is the only one who can, he has to give up the right. presidency, give up the nomination, and he's the only one that can do that. They can call right. and call and call, but he's the only one right. that has to make that decision. Kamala Harris's name is being circulated widely. Newsom's name is being circulated widely, but he could not serve because he and Kamala come from the same state. So Kamala, vice president, gets probably the opportunity to step up and to be the candidate. It has advantages. She gets the money from the campaign because she's in the campaign. And we have to wait and see what happens. I think she would be the candidate should Biden default.
When you and I spoke a couple of days ago booking this program, I said to you that I wanted to have you on because there aren't many Democrats out there who willingly step up and say positive things about her. The media feels, I think, in a negative way. Even the liberal media, I don't think they don't treat her with a great deal of respect, in my opinion. So my question to you is, first of all, do you acknowledge that? And how does she get around that, or at least the public image of her, which is this cackling, word salad person who doesn't seem to have a great deal of substance, and then there's this horrible cackle that just drives some people crazy.
I don't know if I would 100% agree with that. She's a smart lady. She's been she's a lawyer, and she's been defense attorney. Vice president is not president. Vice president is vice president. And you stay behind the president to do your job and right. do whatever I guess the president tells you to do. It would be a giant step, and she would have to step up. And I think she's ready to do that. The media is the most critical vehicle in the world on anything. You got on black shoes, it should have been white. They had on a green dress, it should have been orange. And that you can go on and on and on. I think as a woman, she would have scrutiny like no other. And as a black woman, she would, for damn sure, have scrutiny like we have not seen before.
John Cabello, how do you see her as a political product?
Well, I don't think that she is not intelligent at all. I think she's very intelligent. I mean, she was the attorney general for the state
right.
of California.
That's right.
You don't get to that spot being somebody that doesn't have any intelligence. So, you know, I don't want to call it like I see it. But is she prepared to be the president of the United States? That is a totally different question. You know,
has she been treated fairly by the Biden administration?
No.
They've given her very high visibility roles
recently,
but she doesn't seem to appear to have done a great job with anything that's been handed to her, with the exception of the ability to take the abortion issue and really raise its visibility on the campaign trail.
Correct. Let's just be totally honest here. I mean, if you listen to some of the things that she has to say, they just don't make sense when she's asked questions on certain topics. You know, when she was talking about space, I think at one time it just kind of went on to some sort of a space is there, we're in it. And it was very, very odd.
You're talking about outer space?
Yeah. So she, you know, is supposed to be the borders are. But has she been to the border to really see what's going on? Tony McCombie and I have gone to the border to see what's going on. You know, I just don't think she's either taking the job as seriously as she needs to. But then there's also lots of media reports of the staff issues. It doesn't seem that anybody can get along with her. So there's lots of issues with her being on the top of the ticket. But the interesting dynamic is nobody else gets that $200 million. It has to be used for either Biden, Harris. Mm-hmm. Now, the other interesting thing is, let's say they get rid of Joe Biden. Let's say he says, I'm not going to run. And everybody understands that maybe he's not fit to run. Does he leave instantly? If he's not good enough to be the president in a few months, is he good enough to be president today?
Well, that is another point of the discussion, but I want to go to Mike Miller to get the general assessment. Yeah. And my question to you is, objectively speaking, has Kamala Harris been treated fairly by the media? And, well, she's not expected to be treated fairly by Republicans. Has she been treated fairly by the national media?
Yes, I believe that she has been treated fairly. I think her problem is that she does not put in the time and does not prepare. I don't know how smart she is. I don't know what her scores were when she went to law school and so forth. But I do know that she doesn't prepare. That's why when that interview about space and she talked about time and she just the weirdest. And that's one of the reasons several of her staff quit is because she would not prepare. And they also, they gave her this one job. Her job was going to be the border.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, she failed. She failed dramatically in trying to do something about the border. She talked about root causes and so forth. What had to be done was clear. The border had to be better controlled, if not shut down. And she was incapable of doing that. So when she was given this really important task, which could have made her career, we could be talking about Kamala as a strong candidate for president. She had this chance, and in my mind, she blew it. And I just don't see that she is one who will put in the time necessary to do a fine job. And so I don't want her to be the president any more than I want Joe Biden, because I fear that we will have a man with dementia who is president.
I think we will see her shine in the issues for women in reproduction and abortion and birth control. I think she will speak to that probably eloquently, like Trump cannot, and like Biden probably cannot, and only as a woman.
But if your number one thing is that I speak about the death of children, of the unborn, if that is the main thing, it isn't about jobs or economic growth or trying to get rid of regulations which are stifling economic growth, or how do you deal with Ukraine, or what do you do with the Federal Reserve when you have to reappoint a president or a chairman for the Federal Reserve? No, she's going to talk about, because she can talk about it as a woman, she can talk about how to kill the unborn. I don't know that that's the kind of strength I want to have in a president.
But the questions,
that she has to do.
But the questions that you've raised about Ukraine and other things, have those questions been addressed to her, as far as you know?
Well, she talked about Russia was this really big country right next to this little smaller country called Ukraine, and she sounded, I don't know what the right word would be.
Sophomoric?
She knew nothing about. Sophomoric, thank you, Bruce. That would be a good word for it. Again, she didn't prepare. I don't believe she reads. If she would read so much more, she would be so better prepared.
When we come back, I want to hear from those out in radio TV land. 1-800-723-8029. I want your opinion on the Vice President of the United States and whether or not she's ready for the big job. That's what I want to hear from you back shortly from Chicago.
This is Dennis Prager. Sign up today for an unforgettable experience in Israel this October. Mike Gallagher and I are traveling to the Holy Land on the Stand with Israel tour with our trusted partner, Inspiration Cruises and Tours. This trip of a lifetime to Israel is one you don't want to miss. Register today before it's too late at StandWithIsraelTour.com, StandWithIsraelTour.com, or call 855-565-5519, 855-565-5519.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one.
If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit veteranscrisisline.net for free 24/7 confidential support.
Why was the basketball court all wet?
Because the players kept dribbling on it.
The dad joke. Corny, groan-worthy, but also one of the simplest ways to share a moment with your kids.
What did the buffalo say when he dropped his son off for school? Bye, son.
So take a moment to make your kid laugh, because dad jokes rule. Make your kid laugh today. Go to fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
What if the music stopped? If the familiar voices were silenced? If there were no breaking news updates? What if your companion and connection to your community came with a monthly fee? Don't worry. We're free local radio with you wherever you go. Celebrating 100 years and looking forward to the next 100. We are broadcasters. Text radio to 52886 and let Congress know you depend on your local TV and radio stations. This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here. Probably. Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Bruce Dumont back. Let's go to Arthur in Austin, Texas, listening to us on KLBJ. Go ahead, Arthur.
Hi, Bruce.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Good.
I enjoy your show. And I got three thought-provoking questions for you guys.
Okay.
So the first one I have is it true that you've had, even on your show and definitely on the media, maybe even on this show, you've had guests who have thought Donald Trump committed insurrection, should not be allowed to be the next president because he did not accept the results of the election? Is that true that you
yes.
had guests?
Many guests like okay. that, yeah.
Many guests who said Trump didn't accept the results of the last election.
Mm-hmm.
And at the debate, he was asked, would he accept the results of this next election? And here's my thought-provoking question, especially for any Democrat on your panel right now. One, will they accept the results of the election if Donald Trump is elected? But that's not the thought-provoking one right now. Isn't it ironic? This is the thought-provoking question. Isn't it ironic that right now Democratic senators and Democratic representatives and Democratic talking heads, the New York Times, mm-hmm. the Washington Post. Isn't it ironic that they are not accepting the results of the primary elections for Joe Biden? He is currently the presumptive nominee. He's got all the delegates, and they're trying to do an insurrection. They are trying to do a coup d'etat. He said he does not want to go. He had that interview with George Stephanopoulos, and he says he's good. He's staying in the race. He's cognitively fine. And they're like, no, we got to kick him out. Isn't it ironic that the people that have been saying Donald Trump has not accepted the results of the last election are now not accepting the results of the most recent primary elections across the country? So that's my first thought.
Let's let everybody respond, and then we'll let Hermaine go first.
I don't think, are they saying that they're not accepting the votes, or are they just trying to put the man out? I don't think they're saying
But Arthur's making the point is that Joe Biden went through primaries, and in all the primaries, he got about 87% of the vote, And so the Democrats, even knowing that he may be a little old or they don't like his policies or, you know, they want a stronger person at the border, they all voted for Joe Biden. So those are the people that they chose to send to Chicago to nominate, renominate
the delegate,
Joe Biden. Mm-hmm. So his point is, if behind the scenes, above and beyond all that official stuff that happened, all those primaries, Arthur seems to suggest that the Democrats are now trying to be undemocratic by kicking Joe Biden off the ticket. Is there any truth to that? Is there a logic there?
I don't know if there's any truth to that, but it is ironic. I'd agree with him.
Okay, she agrees that it's ironic.
Yeah.
Question two.
Okay, so it's ironic, but it's more than that. Basically the Democrats are trying to disenfranchise the Democratic primary voters. I mean, this is
take the win, Arthur. Take the win.
the second question.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. The second question or point I've got is: if Kamala Harris and Joe Biden took a cognitive test, this is a question. My position is: I think they'd have the same result. I think they'd have the same score, and Kamala Harris would probably fail just as badly. But do y'all disagree with that?
I absolutely disagree with that.
Yeah, I think I do.
Absolutely.
There's nothing wrong with Kamala Harris' cognition.
Nothing I don't
at all.
Believe, but here's the point.
She's just incompetent.
But here's the point. The cognitive test, I would agree that I think her cognitive test would be better than Joe Biden's.
What about Trump? Can Trump take the same test?
He's willing.
Oh, absolutely. He'll pass it with flying colors.
But here's my question is, when it comes to knowledge and history, would she pass the test or would Joe Biden pass the test? With knowledge and history?
Joe passes the test.
Okay, that's what
probably
I would say.
Probably with flying colors.
Joe doesn't remember.
Third and final question.
Okay.
Probably for the Democrat on your panel more than anyone. And this is an honest question. If there was somehow a law passed through Congress that made an exception for medical to save the life of the mother thing.
Yeah.
Would you accept if there was a law that passed through Congress that said, okay, we're only going to outlaw abortions in the 7th, 8th, and 9th month when the baby is viable, there's nothing. If the baby was normal and nothing, no handicaps or anything like that, and there was no danger to the mother, would you say, hey, I'm okay with that? I'm okay with accepting an abortion that bans, because by that point the baby could be born and someone else could adopt the baby, and the truth is,
let her main respond because we've only got a minute.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I don't think that's not using abortion for abortion. That's using abortion for birth control.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you should not use abortion for birth control. However, if there's perhaps birth defects, if there has been rape, if there has been incest or something like that, I think a woman should be able to make the decision with her doctor, with her mate, that she might have an abortion, but not with her politician.
Mm-hmm. Many of us agree with that.
Agreement. We have agreement on Beyond the Beltway about abortion. I don't believe it. Here's the premise of our next hour of discussion. We've talked about that maybe the field of who would replace Joe Biden is now narrowed down to Kamala Harris. Do you agree with that? And the next question is how do you get Kamala Harris elected? She is running better than Joe Biden in some of the matchups. She may bring some different skill sets to the constituency that they need, where Joe Biden has shown some perceived weakness. And the next thing would be, how do you find the state or states that Kamala Harris flips to surpass Donald Trump and be elected? Can she be elected president? That's the question I want to hear from everybody in the next hour. I'm Bruce Dumont. come on back on Beyond the Beltway from coast to coast and border to border and around the world at beyondthebeltway.com. If you do miss this program every Sunday night when we are live on America's Great Talk Radio stations, you can always find us at beyondthebeltway.com. You can also find us on Facebook Live, and you can also find us on YouTube if you want to watch the television version of this program. Okay, here's the next political question for everybody. Let's assume for the sake of this discussion that Joe Biden has decided to step aside. Would it be a good idea for him to step aside now, maybe before the convention, or dramatically at the convention, so that Vice President Kamala Harris would be running as an incumbent president of the United States? Hermaine Hart.
All of that is about strategy.
Why?
Well, if you're running as an incumbent, it's different than running from the convention, because you've got time to perhaps prepare and so forth. Whereas at the convention, it might be instant. It would be a very shrewd move if Biden does decide to resign as the nominee, to resign from the presidency and let Kamala take over and be in place for the convention. That would be that.
You just don't think it should happen at the convention.
It's a stretch. I think at the convention, it would be total chaos.
John, as a political move.
I don't think it matters in any way, shape, or form. You look at the polls. There's no way that at this point in time, if the election were today, both would lose. If Biden was still running as president, he would lose. And if Kamala is running for president, if she was on the top of the ticket, the polls are showing that she would lose as well.
I don't think we know that yet.
Oh, there's lots of polls out there.
I think some of the polls have suggested that she might be a stronger candidate.
She may be a stronger candidate.
But so my question is, to maximize her strength, if the Democrats were to say, we're going to give you your power now, you're running as an incumbent, and we just think that, you know, we're going to treat you like the incumbent president of the United States, that's going to give her a lot more power,
I don't think it's
and
going
again,
to.
It would help her up.
It would give her power. It would give her a lot of power.
It would set her up
right now
in polling, because some of the polls. The other thing is,
I think everybody has made up their mind. A very small percentage of people in the United States that has not made up their mind who they're going to vote for.
But let me play devil's advocate.
Sure.
Okay. The recent narrative that's come out of Washington is that Joe Biden is in trouble. Because he's in trouble with African-American voters, primarily African-American male voters.
Mm-hmm.
He's in trouble with Hispanic voters, primarily
mm-hmm.
male.
Yep.
He's in trouble with independent voters.
Mm-hmm.
And he continues to be in trouble with women voters. If his opposition was Kamala Harris, I think the polls, they would not hurt him with women. I don't think they would hurt her with independents. I don't think they would hurt her with blacks. They might hurt her with maybe some black men, but you'd have a situation where the black vote would be split and maybe black women would be going towards her and black men would be going elsewhere.
I don't see it, because why wouldn't it happen today? She's the Vice President of the United States. She's in charge of several different things.
There's a big difference between being the Vice President and the President. Mike Miller, your thoughts on that?
We have to remember that Kamala Harris actually did run a campaign
against Biden.
She was on a debate stage where she called Joe Biden a racist.
Yeah.
And when did she remove herself? She removed herself even before the vote in California.
Mm-hmm.
She was such a total and complete disaster on the campaign trail. She essentially was going to lose her home state of California with earning, 3% or 2% of the vote.
Yep.
So she's had a shot. I shouldn't say she's had a shot. She's shown us what she can do in a campaign. And what she has shown us is that she can't do much.
So
I don't think she will be any, and even if she is smart, I don't know how smart she is. But if we use what she has done with interviews and she doesn't prepare, if that seems to be the case with her, I just don't see her doing well on the campaign
trail.
Could
she rise to the occasion? If indeed what you say is correct, that she doesn't prepare, and I've heard that, but I don't know that, would she rethink her whole preparation process if she became the candidate?
You can't do that. That's such a fundamental change in your own behavior. To try to do that in the next 3 months would be a monumental task, and I don't think that – not that anybody would be up to it. If you asked me to completely change the way that I think or the way that I behave, would be a monumental task, and I just don't think she is capable of, and that doesn't mean just her as a black woman – that no one is capable of making a fundamental change that she would have to make herself likable and on top of the topics.
Number one, you all are relying on the polls. I don't rely on the polls.
Yeah.
I do not believe that you can ask 100 people or maybe 1,000 people and get the feel for America. I've been around politics for a while now, and I don't know a person that's ever been polled. Bruce, I've been on your show, and I have done polls.
Yep.
And every poll that I've done is contrary to the real poll, and I've always gotten it right. So, God bless the polls. I don't buy the polls. We've seen the polls run. When Barack was running, Hillary was running. Hillary was winning.
So
Barack
you don't
was
believe,
losing.
You don't
I don't believe.
Believe
the polls. I think they give you a snapshot. They give you a snapshot.
You do not believe that Donald Trump has gained support within the African-American community, primarily African-American males. You dismiss that narrative.
Yes, I do, because as Mr. Trump looked at black men and put them in the barbershop, it was all staged.
What barbershop?
Don't you remember the barbershop that he just did? And the black men were all Trump, 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 and we're for Trump. We're black men for Trump.
He went to that barbershop.
It was staged. There was no barbershop. It was staged.
Wait a minute.
He was in a barbershop and brought all.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me
a political candidate staged something?
Bruce.
Oh, my God.
When Joe Biden walked into the Waffle House,
Bruce,
do you think that was just...
I said Donald Trump staged.
Well, I'm just saying is that candidates tend to stage events.
I didn't say the candidate. I said Donald Trump staged.
Okay.
Now, if Kamala is the candidate, the black community will unite. That's number one. Black women vote.
Yes.
Black men, some do, some don't. But Kamala would carry the black community probably in the same way that Barack Obama did. Now, the question is not would she carry the black community, is would the white community support her?
That's a good point. 1-800-723-8029 from coast to coast, border to border. I'm Bruce Dumont, back with calls. We've got them standing by. You could be next. Don't go away.
As a local business owner, you get called every week by marketing companies. We get it. We have hundreds of satisfied customers. Here's what a satisfied client recently said.
Open enrollment is going great. We're hitting record numbers. Thank you so much for this report. It really is amazing to see how the marketing is really shaping our enrollment around the city.
If you're a local business and ready for the next step, visit SurroundChicago.com right now. Our experts are ready to help you take your marketing to the next level. Visit SurroundChicago.com today.
In the new video series, Fault Lines, Professor Vodi Bauckham examines the threat of woke social doctrine versus biblical justice.
The religion of anti-racism has no redemption. We have to be right about what God requires in this critical moment.
Discover the fault lines beneath today's cultural divide.
What God are you trying to appease?
Fault Lines, the 10-part video series and essential 6-part study guide. Available at SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here. Probably. Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober.
Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is the story of a very special woman. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in a thousand pieces, just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
First about back, let's go to calls. Tampa, Florida is the place. Eduardo is listening to us this evening. Eduardo, go ahead.
Yeah, Bruce, I was telling your screener, Mr. Biden is going to get this win, according to him, in the general election. Maybe by next July, he'll hand it over to Vice President Harris. He won last time. They're not going to do any replacement, not even at the convention. I mean, he has a history of beating Trump before, so why are you going to do the change? She's a horrible candidate. I mean, she comes from the state of California, a horrible state. So that's my prediction.
So you think that he gets through the election and then he dumps her as the vice president, or he resigns?
No, he resigns
at that point. Okay, got it.
Right. Yeah, right. Presidency to VP Harris, right.
Do you think that's fair?
Sure, why not? I mean, it wasn't like Gavin Newsom or Wes Moore. I mean, it was the VP. Why not?
Now, let me ask you this question.
Could you imagine?
Go ahead, Mike.
Could you imagine the American people voting for a man who can barely carry on a conversation, who is going to be president for the next 4 years? I just can't believe that American people will do that. At least I hope that's not the case. As much as people have problems with Mr. Trump, he at least he is of sound mind.
No, he's not. He's not of sound mind.
Well, oh, that's for heaven's sake, he's
that's
of sound
mind. No, for heaven's sake, he's not.
Hermaine does not believe he's of sound mind. And, you know, there's a lot of people who agree with her, but, you know, you have to give us an example of why he's not of sound mind.
Because he lies. He lies, and
don't
he lies.
Politicians
and
lie?
He's not like Trump.
What has he lied about?
He's the master liar. And he's convicted. He's a rapist.
A rapist?
He's
never been talking about.
Rape? Yes, he was. The lady and Bernard Goodman.
Are we talking about Bill Clinton?
I'm not talking about Clinton. I'm talking about Trump.
Wait a minute. Hermaine.
No.
Hermaine.
No.
Donald Trump was not convicted of rape.
I didn't say he was convicted of rape.
But you called him a rapist.
I said he was convicted, and I said the lady in Birdoff Goodman. Remember that lady?
Yeah.
Hey, he owes $83 million to?
What about the young children that Biden sniffs their hair and they tell their parents that they feel uncomfortable?
I don't know that.
Wait a minute. But he
sniffs the children's hair. And what happened?
You can't say things like
Hermaine,
that.
Hermaine.
What?
You can't.
Donald Trump was not convicted of rape.
I didn't say he was convicted of rape.
Well, but when
I said
say,
he
when
was
a rapist,
convicted,
he's a rapist.
And but you said he was. You said he was.
Didn't
a rapist.
the lady in, at Berdorf Goodman? Don't
maybe
you
she,
all remember
maybe
that?
Maybe she lied.
But
just a minute.
It was a court, civil case.
So he was accused.
A court, and lawyers and judges did not find him guilty of that.
Oh, so he's innocent of that, and she's just lying.
How would you describe the criminal justice system? Is any person who's charged with something going to be
justice,
convicted?
What the Supreme Court just did. How would you describe that?
I certainly wouldn't describe it as being able to describe that someone is a rapist if they've never been charged with that or convicted of
but
that.
But he was charged with that.
No,
he was not charged with rape.
Okay.
He was not charged with rape.
Okay.
All right, on that note.
Pardon.
All right, we move on. Let's go to, I want to ask you this question. Kamala Harris, let's say for the sake of this discussion, is the candidate. Somehow she becomes the candidate. Now, how does she get elected? And one thought I would have is this. She selects as her running mate a governor or a senator of a red state that takes that state away from Donald Trump and gives it to a Democrat. And a name I think of is the governor of North Carolina, which is a toss-up state, but it's a toss-up red state. And she would select their governor, Governor Cooper, and he would be the running mate, and they would steal a state from Donald Trump.
So the problem with that is the people don't know Mr. Cooper.
They will know Mr. Cooper when he's the nominee of the party.
So and we'll just trust that. We don't know Mr. Cooper. So this is how Kamala would win. Kamala would win with the black community.
Yeah.
Kamala would win with women.
Yeah.
Women vote more. Okay. Black women vote more. And I think that would be kind of her lineup of how she would win.
You think she'd get all women, not just black women?
I think she would appeal to all women. Yes, I do. No. I think she would appeal to all women.
Single women.
Single women.
Single women.
No, I don't think. I didn't say single women. I said women.
Huge gap.
So you just think because she's black and because she is a woman, she deserves to be the candidate.
I didn't say she deserved. I said that's how she would win.
So tell me about Cooper. I don't know anything about him.
See?
Well, Cooper is the two-term governor of North Carolina. He's a very popular governor down there. But again, you could pick other states. I would say that you could look to Governor Shapiro in Pennsylvania. I mean, if you had someone from Pennsylvania as a running mate in Pennsylvania, it might improve the likelihood of the Democrats carrying Pennsylvania. And I frankly don't think they can be elected president if they don't carry Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan. Now, Gretchen Whitmer allegedly has backed away from a comment when at least the polls suggest that Trump is winning in Pennsylvania.
Yep.
It's almost tied in Wisconsin, but the Trump has a lead in Pennsylvania. So I think you have to look at a state that Kamala Harris could take away from Donald Trump, or ensure the likelihood that she would win. And I would say that Governor Shapiro, again, who's a first term governor, but he's the governor of a big state.
But remember, she ran a campaign to
a horrible campaign.
And a horrible campaign. She is not going to be able to run a better campaign, in my mind, between now and the end of the year.
What if other people are running the campaign, though?
I was going to say, it's another whole ball game. It's not her. And you shouldn't say that she wouldn't rise to the occasion.
I think the American people now understand that we're not going to allow people to be hidden in basements anymore. The candidate themselves are going to have to come out and do this.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what they would try to do.
And that's debate, that's interviews, it's everything.
But I think they would try to hide her just like they did with Biden.
Mike?
And there one other thing that one reason people say that Mr. Trump beat Hillary Clinton in 2016 is because Hillary is not likable. everything I hear about people's perceptions.
What's with you? All these women are not likable to you. What's the matter with you?
I like plenty of women.
Who do you like? Do you like Hillary? Clinton? How about if Hillary runs?
No.
Yes.
No.
Why not? She won the popular vote.
She can run and lose again.
She didn't lose.
That's not,
she lost the electoral vote.
Do you want Hillary to be the candidate here?
Yeah, I want Hillary to be the president. Yes, I do.
So what about Kamala?
You want Hillary? Well, just a minute. We may have some breaking news here. You want Hillary to be the candidate over Kamala Harris?
No, I didn't. You see how they twist that?
Well, that's what I was.
I said Hillary. I'm throwing out a name. I'm throwing something up against the wall, see if it sticks. I'm saying Hillary, what about Hillary as the candidate? Since you all have said Kamala can't
win. She's been rejected.
Nobody.
She's a loser.
She won the popular vote.
Hermione, have you read the Constitution lately? Winning the popular vote doesn't mean a rat's ass. It doesn't mean anything.
It didn't mean a rat's ass because
you got to win the
electoral.
She didn't do it. And by the way, for all those women who cry themselves to sleep every night because of the Supreme Court, they have one person to blame. It's Hillary Clinton, who didn't get off her dead butt to go campaign in Wisconsin. Had she gone and campaigned in Wisconsin,
I agree.
She would have flipped the – so she is the reason why she lost the presidency.
Well, I think
nobody else.
She had some illnesses as well. Kind of, you know, kind of runs with the Democratic –
What illnesses? What did she have?
Oh, she – dude. There was
– her stomach.
Yeah, there was a lot of illnesses that
– So the Democrats get sick. That's what you all are saying,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Democrats get sick. Oh, quit.
I mean,
quit.
There was the incident where they had to carry her into the house.
Oh, yeah.
She had a bad cold, didn't she?
So did Biden, right? At the
debate. So did Biden.
Yeah.
Mike Miller,
and so did
you.
Trump. Trump had COVID, right? Remember that?
But he didn't lose.
I did.
And just let's take some bleach. Yeah. Let's take bleach, and that'll take care of COVID for you.
Mike didn't say that.
Oh, he did.
Mike Miller.
He did not say that.
Mike Miller.
He did, Mike.
We're not going to replay the last campaign.
Thank you.
Mike didn't like women. Okay, Mike, who would your female choice for president be?
Let's talk about this. Let's talk about the other choice. Let's talk about the other choice that's out there. Donald Trump is in the process now of making his choice, who will be his running mate. Now, he has to make his announcement first, because the Republican convention is before the Democratic convention.
Yeah.
But do you think all of this question to you, Mike, do you think that this, all this brouhaha in the Democratic primary, election, and with the possibility of Kamala Harris moving up and the ticket being changed, does that change Donald Trump's decision on who he wants as a running mate? I want you to think about that. I don't want your answer now. Okay. This is called a tease. We want people all over the country to pull over, get off the road, and listen for 3 minutes to the commercials, and then we'll come back with Mike Miller. Who should be the running mate of Donald Trump? And again, will that decision, should it be based on anything that the Democrats do? But he's got to act first. Back to you.
In the new video series, Fault Lines, Professor Vodi Bauckham examines the threat of woke social doctrine versus biblical justice.
The religion of anti-racism has no redemption. We have to be right about what God requires in this critical moment.
Discover the fault lines beneath today's cultural divide.
What God are you trying to appease?
Fault Lines, the 10-part video series and essential 6-part study guide. Available at salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.
Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is done.
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This is the story of a very special woman. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in a thousand pieces, just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here. Probably. Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and Ad Council.
Bruce Dumont, we continue with Beyond the Beltway, heading to the phone calls. Let's go to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Sam is listening to us tonight. Go ahead from the South. Go ahead.
Yes, Bruce. The Democrats are going to play bait and switch with Joe Biden, but it doesn't really matter which Democrat is in office. Their policies are going to be the same destructive policies that are destroying this nation, and people need to understand that. Secondly, the Democrats need to be held accountable for the fraud that they have perpetrated upon the American people and the danger that they put this nation in, knowing what kind of shape Biden was in. And third, the American people should demand answers as to who's been calling the shots. I've been saying for 3 years it's not Biden, it's not Biden.
Do you believe that there's anybody in the media that will give you a straight answer to that question?
Probably not, but we know that it's been a cover-up. It's been obvious as to what's going on. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody knows who's really behind the curtain back there that has, you know, calling the shots. It's the same, it's Obama and the same people and Soros and the big cat influencers in the Democrat Party. But it doesn't matter who it is. If another Democrat's elected, there won't be a nation. The borders will be left open. The economy will continue to go downhill. The real estate industry has already been destroyed in this nation. Last month was the lowest number of home closings since 2001. The oil and gas industry is going to be destroyed. Inflation will continue to be rampant. Mm-hmm. Groceries are about three times what they were when Biden took office. It's a disaster. And if people want that, go ahead.
Sam, I want to ask you a question because we had begun the discussion of Donald Trump's running mate. And you're in a unique situation since you call us tonight from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. I want to give you, because there are three names that are important in the Republican National Party. And they are Tim Scott, they are Nikki Haley, and they are Lindsey Graham. Now, Lindsey Graham is only famous because he's on television every other week, but his presidential aspirations are behind him. Of the two that I mentioned from South Carolina, Do you think one would be a better running mate for Donald Trump than the other? And if so, why?
I don't like any of them.
Okay.
Lindsey Graham, he's never seen a war he doesn't like, but he doesn't even have any children to send to war. So, he shouldn't even be doing what he's doing. Nikki Haley would sell her own mother to get where she wants to be. Don't like her. Tim Scott's not really up to the job, but he's an affirmative action candidate everybody likes because of the color of his skin. I'm not a huge Scott fan, but he's the more likable of the three probably, but I don't really think he's the person for the job either.
An affirmative action candidate, do you see him as that, John?
I don't. If you listen to him, he is a very respectable gentleman. I think he does have a grasp of a lot of the issues, way better than the current president, way better than the current vice president. You listen to him, and he can explain the problems that are going on, and he has lots of solution to those problems.
If Kamala Harris is the Democratic nominee for president, does that increase the chances of Tim Scott being selected by Donald Trump? Or does it decrease it, or does it have no effect on it?
Obviously, every single person that is running for president is going to pick a running mate on how is going to help them. So I believe that Tim Scott helps in many ways. I do believe that there's some other very good candidates as well that are being considered.
Such as?
Bergson. I think the governor of South – yeah, South I think Dakota. The – he is –
North Dakota.
Yeah, I think he's got some very good skills that would be excellent for this country. But you don't want to have two old white guys on the ticket. It's either got to be a young person or a person of color.
So Nikki Haley, should be the vice president for Trump.
How come?
Because first of all, she's a woman, and second of all, if we look at it purely strategic eyes. Politically, if Kamala is running, then that helps Trump in terms of balancing his ticket with a woman.
A woman who's also Indian.
Yeah, so I guess
Kamala says she's Indian and she's black, so she's both.
So that means Haley would be a minority, is that what you're saying?
So you think that only...
She is.
Yeah,
you think that only the only way... that Trump can compete is by having a female running mate.
No, I don't think it's the only way. I think it's a way. I think it's a smart way.
I'm going to suggest a name that I've suggested many times, Marco Rubio. Marco Rubio, as well as, and I would put this up there as a second, is J.D. Vance. As a young, articulate, he was on television today. He looks a couple of generations younger even than Trump.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you already have Ohio. You may already have Florida. There isn't necessarily a state. You've already got South Carolina. So I'm not so sure that if Kamala Harris is the presidential choice, I'm not so sure that by selecting an African-American running mate for Trump would help Trump. I think if Kamala Harris is the Democratic nominee, she will get the bulk of the African-American vote.
That's right.
Notwithstanding the narrative about black men going over to Trump, I think he will get a share of the black vote and maybe a better share than anybody else.
There was only one name, that President Trump had mentioned during the debate.
And?
Tim Scott.
It's Tim Scott.
Okay. So you think it's Tim Scott?
I do.
Your thoughts? Let's let Mike respond on Tim Scott, and then we're going to hear.
I don't have any real strong feelings. I think Bergen, the North Dakota governor, would bring a lot of business experience to the table. I think that would be very good. J.D. Vance is just a very bright, well-read, Yale-trained, who came up from nothing. He's an amazing story. I think he would be a wonderful vice president.
Yeah.
But I think Tim Scott would be a wonderful president. He has also a very interesting story.
Mm-hmm.
I heard him tell it. He's very he is not going to tell us word salads. He is very clear, as you were saying, John. It's when he talks, you know exactly what he's saying.
Yep.
I just think that Tim Scott would be a great choice. Any of those would be a great choice.
Trump is not going to choose a black man as his vice president, period.
Why?
What, is he a racist?
Yes, that's why.
Because he's a racist?
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Oh, you talk about women and then you say, oh, for heaven's sakes. Heaven's sakes, what?
I've met the man several times.
Donald I don't care how
Trump
many times you've met him.
Is not a racist.
Okay.
So you said
anything, it's Joe Biden.
Looks like. So why?
It's Joe Biden that is a racist.
So let me
ask
you this.
He is the person that called
black
men super predators.
Do you remember the central?
Super predators is what Joe Biden
He's a super predator?
No, Joe Biden called black men super predators.
What did Trump do when in the South? You remember the Central Park Five? The black men? The black boys, the young, they were teens, and they were accused of raping someone. And Trump took out full page ad in the New York Times to say that they should get the electric chair. And they were not guilty. Remember that?
Sure don't.
Okay, look it up.
So,
but that doesn't mean that he's racist.
But let me say, but you think, I want, before we go,
black, it's because they were rapists.
They were black boys, rapists,
Before we continue to label people rapists on this program, and I'm certainly not going to make any comment like that because I don't know the specifics of that case. I know it vaguely. It happened about 40 or 50 years ago.
No. It did not happen 40 or 50 years ago. Go ahead. I'm going to look
it happened
for
at
you.
Least 30 years ago.
No.
I want to go and I want you 90s. To tell us why, because you have said that Donald Trump tonight is a rapist.
Wait.
And you've said that he's a racist. And my question to you
and
is,
you all said Biden was a, what'd you say?
I didn't
he's
say
a
that.
No, he's a racist.
I didn't say
Biden
that.
Is
why
a
is
racist.
Biden a racist?
Kamala.
Because he called black men super predators.
I'm not going to get into what people called people 15 years ago. I want to go get back to you. You have summarily dismissed the selection of Tim Scott as a running mate. Why?
Because he's black, and Trump is not going to have a black running mate, in my humble opinion.
You were against him because he's black?
No, I didn't say I was against him. I said I don't think Trump will select him.
I'm asking why you have been so vehement in your denunciation of Tim Scott during this program, whether it's been on the air or off the air. You do not like Tim Scott, and when I come back, I'd like to give you an opportunity to alert the audience why you think that he would not be a good choice to be a heartbeat away from Donald Trump. I think a lot of people would like to know that because he allegedly is one of the names that's still up there. I frankly don't think he is, but a lot of people are still thinking that he's in the top five of consideration. When we come back, one more segment. 1-800-723-8029. We got callers on the line. We'll hear from Georgia when we come back.
I'll be here to hear what's on your mind.
Kids want to share what's going on in their lives with the adults around them. Parents, grandparents, teachers, coaches, and more. They want to know you're listening, and they want to listen to you. They want your input and guidance, early and often, on all kinds of topics. When it comes to a serious subject like underage drinking, they want to know your expectations, as well as how and why, as a young person, they should avoid alcohol. How you talk about it will change as your child grows, but the important thing is to talk about it. Not just once for an hour when you think the time is right, but in 60 one-minute conversations and more that are part of your everyday talks. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. When you need me, I'll be by your side.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably?
It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here. Probably. Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is the story of a very special woman. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in a thousand pieces, just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
We continue. Let's reach out to the state of Georgia, and Susan is listening tonight. Go ahead, Susan. You're on Beyond the Beltway.
Hi there. I wanted to add a couple of points.
Hello?
Is gaining traction. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Biden is gaining traction with the independent voters. I heard on another talk show. So you have that, and supposedly he's only 2 points behind Trump now. Of course, that's not much given the margin of error.
Right.
And as well, what is your all's opinion with Trump and the having all the counts against him via Stormy Daniels' trial? Do you think he's going to, as it gets closer to the election, going to lose a lot of the suburban housewife votes, because that was apparently how he lost last time it was reported? Do you think that will have an influence on that? And as well, he's a man's man. I don't think he'd ever choose Nikki Haley or any female, because he is such a guy's guy. I think it would definitely be a male vice president. But Nikki Haley might help him gain some of those suburban housewives back. Might not be a bad idea, but I don't think he'd ever go out on a limb and do that. What's your opinion on
I agree that Nikki Haley would be a plus for the campaign. I think that she can address, the 21% of the people that have voted in the primary after it's been a foregone conclusion. About 20% of them have said that they've voted for Nikki Haley. So I don't think that Donald Trump can just willy-nilly dismiss that 20% of the Republican electorate. I think that Nikki Haley would be the best choice, in my opinion. But again, you have to have a good, strong relationship with your vice president, and I believe that bond of trust does not exist between those two people. Here's John Cabell.
One of the things that you need to start kind of doing some homework, because Donald Trump and the Trump Organization has elevated so many females to very top portions of the company. In fact, one of the first females in New York as a contractor that worked for him oversaw everything. He elevated her to one of the highest spots within the organization. So the characteristics of what you were saying is false. I don't think you're lying, but maybe do some homework on how he actually ran his business and how he does elevate females throughout the organization.
How do you feel that the Stormy Daniels trial will impact suburban Republican women?
I think at this point in time, the suburban Republican women have already made their minds up. What I think is that they are seeing that 4 years ago, their pocketbooks had more money in it. Gas was cheaper. The things that were going on in the world were not taking place then. I would hope that the suburban women would take a look at that and decide that maybe their children's safety is more important than dealing with somebody or not liking somebody because of past transgressions, if they actually happened with Stormy Daniels.
Romaine?
You don't think you think Stormy Daniels is lying?
I do.
She's a prostitute.
Porn star.
Oh, she's a prostitute.
No, she's a porn star.
He paid her. She's a prostitute. He paid her for sex.
You have
sex.
Proof of that.
No, I'm going
then
by what was in the. I wasn't in the
so
room,
we,
so I didn't see it. Yeah, neither
so
did
should,
you.
Should
but
we believe
that's
her
what,
or not?
Well, he denies it.
I think we believe her.
You believe her. Okay.
Well,
you
but he denies it.
Yeah.
Trump denies it. Trump that's denies not. Everything. And Trump lies about everything.
So
what are you
so
talking about?
Biden.
You believe
no,
it?
So does Biden.
No, he doesn't.
Not yeah. true.
So his uncle was eaten by other people?
I don't know anything about his uncle being eaten by anybody. I don't know that.
You don't know the
see, that doesn't go in.
The uncle, yeah. Somebody ate his uncle. Is that what you all are saying?
Well, that's what Biden said.
Biden says somebody ate
that's
his uncle?
That's what Biden said.
Yeah. Okay, I don't.
Cannibals.
Look that up. It's been
okay,
in
the, I don't know that.
Uncle Bosie. Uncle Bosie. See, there's a difference between the people who listen to all the media and the people who listen only to the left media. The left media did not play up the Uncle Bosie question.
Okay.
All those crazy stories that Mr. Biden has told for years.
So
and
what about Trump with the when he says he grabs women, you can grab women by their groin.
Yeah.
What about
elected,
that? Did Trump
yeah.
say that?
He didn't say groin.
Yeah, but,
no, he
didn't. Did.
He
yes.
didn't say groin.
So
I'm trying to be polite.
He did
but
say
the
American, he did.
The American
he
people.
Could.
The American people, the American voters, they voted on that. They knew about it. They voted on it.
Yeah, we
here's my
know
question.
That.
We got a short amount of time. What is the impact of the illegal immigration issue on the contemporary black community, and who do they hold to blame for that?
I don't know. In Chicago, I think they hold Brandon Johnson responsible for that because he could have sent buses back. That's what I think in Chicago. Now,
what about at the border? Has Biden done a good job in protecting the southern border?
No.
Okay. Is there a Democratic position to that?
I don't think
that could make that improve.
I think
you're
that
right.
is a national issue. I don't think it's a Democratic or a Republican issue. I think it is a national issue, and I think we say goodbye. Is that what you said?
No.
Oh.
No, it's certainly a national issue, but Mr. Trump was doing it right, and Mr. Biden, he told the whole world he was going to change all of Mr. Trump's policies practically the first day he became president, which he did, and then the border opened. The border was under control, and Mr. Biden destroyed it. He just then he gave it to Kamala Harris for her to be the border czar, and she blew it.
We have a quick
so
question. A quick, fast
yeah.
question. I need a yes or no.
I think you don't like Kamala.
Yes or no. Do you believe that Joe Biden will step aside, John Cabello?
No.
Do you believe he will step aside, Mike Miller?
I do.
Do you think he'll step aside, Hermaine Hartman?
No.
Okay.
Is there a – one of the
Bruce
things
Dumont,
that
what
I
do
think
you think?
I think – you know yeah. what? I don't think he'll step aside.
I don't either.
I don't think he'll step aside.
Wow.
On that moment, we're out of time. Hermaine Hartman is the publisher of Indigo Magazine. Thanks very much. And Indigo Media, which is television and internet and everything else. Mike Miller from Western Washington University. He's an economist there. John Cabello is a state representative from Rockford, Illinois, also a member of their distinguished police force. I'm Bruce Dumont. Thanks to Fritz Goldman for his assistance in the production of this program. Until next week, good night from Chicago.